Tonight we're actually very grateful to be joined by the one and only Mr. T. Mr. T, if you could just say hello there to everybody.
Welcome.
There you go. That's
Mr. Welcome.
Yeah, we can hear Brilliant. You loud and clear. So, anything interesting going on at all these days, Mr. T? Anything I should know about, isn't there?
Well, we're still here.
We're still here. We had a meet-up today, folks, in Ardgillan, and the castle grounds as usual. Beautiful, beautiful sunny day. We were joined by General Goodshafting, came all the way from Shaftington to join us, and he'll be on in a little while with us. He's taking care of some business out in the kitchen, I'm not sure what. But earlier on, Mr. T, we were talking about certain operations that appear in law, methodology, process in particular. How are your thought processes processing on that topic?
Not too good.
Not too good at the minute. You're looking for something. Okay.
Because I forgot the how they apply it, and if I can't make sense of it, the people listening will not. And my mindset right now is got the thought process down where I can explain it in a realistic and understanding way. I just don't see it here. I just happened to bring it up because I thought about it. Let's see, facts. We deal with facts because there's a penalty clause. They don't want to commit perjury. They call it a perjury trap, and I think we've talked about that perjury trap doctrine before. They violate our rights, and so that's why they want to keep. They call it clean hands doctrine, and it's really not that complicated. But we just got to pull them up when they address us. You know, our name is one of the first things.
Well, you know, is this in relation to redundancy? You were talking earlier on today about redundancy in relation to the name. Could you expand on that a little?
Well, it's only alleged that you have a name. And if you tell them without them bringing forth the injured party so you can make restitution, well, they got to swear that somebody's been violated or injured. Remedy. And if they don't do that, well, we
so in other
say,
words,
where's the obligation?
No. So you're making them an offer first to make restitution.
They come up and
before you give them a name. You're saying, hey, if somebody thinks I've hurt them or I've done something, I'll bring them forth, let them state his claim.
And then you can make restitution.
And if I can grant relief, I will.
I'd be glad to give you my name if you can swear that I violated you, or you know, so I can make remedy.
Mm.
And if you pull them up on it, they aren't going to violate you. They aren't going to go any further with that because they don't want to commit perjury. And they always get the they always give us the idea that we're the ones that are committing perjury. And perjury is only more or less for them. That's a fact. We deal with facts. They have to deal with the law. Because, you know, you can't twist the law. It's like a straight line. If you deviate one little bit, then you're breaking the law. And if you make, just like a snake, if he's crooked someplace, then he's crooked. I mean, he's breaking the law. Right?
Yeah. But you were talking.
They get us to commit ourselves into that criminal jurisdiction that they're dealing us with. See, we got to stay in the civil jurisdiction.
Yes, but is it just our stupidity that does it in general, or our ignorance?
Well, whatever you want to call it. You gotta name your own tune. It's rather interesting. You know, if you want to feel ignorant, you can.
What you do.
I know I have been ignorant.
You were discussing earlier the idea of redundancy. So, for example, I said, well, for example, if there's a guy over here to my right and you're on my left, and one of them asks me my name, and I give it, I am then redundant because I've given them what they need to act without consulting me anymore, because I've just told them I'm of low status. I've put myself beneath them and in there. I've put myself in their hands, if you will. I'm now redundant. My decision-making processes are no longer required. I'm now there to answer. Would that be correct?
Well, that's the way to put it. Maybe you're verified. Maybe not. It depends on how loose you want to get or how tight you want to tighten it up. Mm-hmm. Verifies.
Well, this is just an initial.
What is required or unnecessarily.
So in other words,
there's a lot of actually different words that you can use.
So in other words, if a man is asking you for your name, and you can see he's wearing some type of a,
if he's an entity,
costume or whatever,
costume, Santa Claus,
Santa Claus,
okay. Or Easter Bunny, you know, Peter Easter Bunny, yeah. Don't eat any
so
carrots.
So if the Easter Bunny wants your name, you know he doesn't. He's up to no good with that name, right? As far as you're concerned. That's why they're looking for it.
And that's probably why he's been eating too many carrots.
So, if you give your name to the Easter Bunny in this instance...
Well, I'd ask him if he lays eggs.
Point is, though...
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, come on, leave
it. We're late. We don't want to get off course, sir.
No, but... okay, so... You make yourself redundant by giving the name instead of doing what you're supposed to do, which is to make an inquiry to see, hey, is there somebody out there that believes I've hurt them?
Yeah.
Because I don't know about it.
Right.
You're saying, hey, is somebody being hurt? You know, is there a problem somewhere? I don't, you know, I need to
but they gotta raise
make
their
restitution.
Hand.
I need to provide a remedy. Let them come forth and I'll make good.
That's really about all it's
when
about.
When you don't do that and you just give them the name, you're showing incompetency, correct? And it's the beginnings of showing
them
incompetence.
You're getting into an issue or dispute. They usually call it dispute.
Mm.
Like when you walk into court, sometimes the only way they can operate is if you give them, say, the issue to where they can make a decision on. Like if you go in and you say, well, I put my affidavit in, then they'll probably say, we've heard your complaint. We know you've been sworn. We've heard your complaint. Now they can make a decision on that dispute. You're just claiming you've got a dispute with them, with this man, this plaintiff. Now they can make a ruling on that, because that's like pleading. Just to give one example.
Even in a non-criminal circumstance.
Well, even a tribunal, because that's all they are. It's a legend anyway.
Yeah,
allegation.
Everything is only an allegation. Can you talk to me about allegation? I need to get allegation a little bit clearer.
It's only assertion of some statement to what they want you to do. Allegations are asserting some statement they want you to say with your mouth or on paper.
So they're looking for you to testify to...
They're wanting you to recognize...
Your testimony. They want you to recognize it first, to acknowledge it, and to testify all in one go if they can get it.
Because that's what that little thing you put across the, your envelope, the window. First word is, I do not recognize you.
Mm.
That's really a key word that we want to, that's the first thing you say. Anybody that says anything to you with an entity, or a straw man, whatever you want to call them, the state, the uniform, just say, well, I don't recognize you. You got to, show who you are. Because I can't talk to somebody that can't, I don't hear their voice. Because I can't hear. I just hear the person in that uniform. I can't hear the, uniform. I mean, if the state is, operating here, I want to talk to the state. This guy in the blue suit. Not the guy, but a man, but the blue suit. And the blue suit can't talk.
Exactly. That goes on a hanger at the end of the shift.
The hangar can't talk either. It might give you more a giant. It holds more weight than
Yeah, well, I mean, this is it. I mean,
it's a example, form.
Take a parking attendant, for
it's
example.
A form.
The uniform is not the parking attendant, and the man is not the parking attendant, but you put the two together, suddenly everybody thinks it's a parking attendant. But it's not. It's still just a man. But you can see a parking attendant if you wish. If
yeah, you
want.
May.
Well, that's a wish, right. Actually. That would be your wish.
They say you may, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And, which brings me to the word wish. Now, you...
But you see that in a lot of papers that you get from letters. They're only wishing. The first... Remember that one man that had the letter? I pointed out that in the first sentence, it was something that they were wishing, and they wanted him to consent to it. I don't even remember what it was up. It was one of the men in the group.
It was, letter back from one of the guys wrote to the minister about fluoride in the water.
Right.
And the response to the letter was, I wish to acknowledge receipt of your letter. So he wrote back saying, basically, I wish you would too. Why don't you do it then? Because I wish to respond is not a response.
It wasn't appropriate.
It was inappropriate, correct, yeah.
And they use that word a lot, appropriate.
But when it comes especially to your will as opposed to wish, you corrected me on something I did, whereby I said to somebody, it is not my wish for such and such a thing to occur, where I was incorrect in saying wish, even though the intent was clear, using the word wish in that instance. I would have been better to use what will. Probably would have been a more apt. It is not my will.
You made the decision then, but will.
Because
an
act done without my
it's a fact
acceptance
that I'm not
accepted. Yeah, is not my act.
It's a fact.
Mm.
You know, you can use it any way you want to express it. I wish it doesn't hurt. I mean, I'm sure they're not going to pick up on that wish.
No. I know. It's just that form.
But if you put it in documents like in trust and in...
Yeah, well, that was a very tricky
property document.
That was the swine flu.
Like if you're willing something to somebody, then you know, your wish just would be willed.
Well, just so I'll explain to people what I did. I didn't actually write anything on the document that they gave me for the swine flu, even though I know I could have. But there was that many traps and tricks on it, I decided to do something else, shall we say. I sent a separate document, you know.
But that's your common law, you know, really getting
I sent
down.
Them a common law writ, basically.
Right.
I sent them my writ. That to me was a done deal, because anything else, as far as I could see, one dot of ink on that other form, they could have me for child abuse. Because... one side said, I do consent, and the other side said, I refuse to consent. And if you're refusing something, according to them, that's child abuse, right?
No, that was a bad document to, you know, even have in your hand.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't know.
I bet you still got that burnt fingers.
That winged its way back fairly rapid,
document.
Too. Oh, yes, that went back into the envelope. And
you probably got lines on your fingers.
Burn marks.
Like branded into
scorch marks. So, Harry's here with me, folks. I just want to pass the mic on to Harry. If Harry wants to give a few minutes worth of updates on what's going on and what you want to get accomplished over the next while, Harry, will you? Here you go.
He's going to tell us about...
There's a bit of activity going on in the background,
things.
Which will be made forward soon enough in the next couple of weeks. A couple of drafts, that kind of thing. What will not be unveiled as yet, but we will keep you posted when the depth charge has left the station. Yeah, when the train's left the station, we let you know, and there'll be a couple of people in alleged authority given notice by registered mail within the next couple of weeks, probably within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
You were saying something though, Harry, about the amount of printing that you'd like people to get going themselves. You'd like people at home, the listeners, or the, you know, to actually copy, duplicate.
Oh yeah, folks, I mean, you know, the bigger agenda is, you know, if anybody's not familiar with, you know, I'm sure you're all familiar with the big agenda out there. and they're cranking it up. I mean, the other day, the Polish president, yesterday, it was the Polish president, 1997, were killed altogether in a plane crash, and that's not... It's not kind of protocol that you all rack and pack and stack in the same plane. So, as far as from what I heard, he was against the Treaty of Lisbon and he wanted a referendum, and of course that doesn't go down to the bigger agenda. Basically, I always ask questions. I'm just a suspicious sod. But, you know, we really need to... disseminate the information as much as possible. So it is a kind of a request. If people could duplicate, you know, initiate your own area, you know, and duplicate the information that's out there, you know, whether it be cards or A4 adhesive labels, and disseminate the information throughout your own area and try and organise groups of people to do that. I mean, if everybody does this in their own area, the whole country would be clicked with it within a week. They'd know what's going on. Now, the taxi drivers have an issue. One of the Instagram groups who received the information, the taxi drivers, because their back is against the wall. They've been regulated to death and they've been sold out with the unions, the contract with the corporation, the registered government. And most of them can't even they can't even feed their families. So we're kind of focusing on these guys, you know, with the information, and a lot of them are catching on with this information. The teachers now, somebody told me about the teachers that's going to escalate, and the teachers, we need to focus on the teachers, and if they get the information, they're going to investigate it, and they're going to spread it like wildfire. You know, so the opposition out there are really cranking up, you know, I mean, Sean Quinn. You got to join all the dots here together. You got Sean Quinn's empire. He's the richest man in the country, and they're trying to bring him down. And the only reason why they're trying to bring him down is he's not a member of that inner ring, let's say. His little buzz is going down to his local pub and playing cards with the local people. He's not in with the big mob, you know, so they're trying to bring his company down. So we've been in contact, you know, he's been given the information as well that when he joins the dots, he knows exactly what's going on in the bigger agenda. He's in court on Monday, so a couple of us may actually meet him there, have a little chat with him, but he's been given information in the meantime on the bigger scheme of things. So you know, try and get people motivated in your area to duplicate the information and disseminate it as far and wide as possible, and as soon as possible, and as quick as possible, because things are moving very, very fastly, very quickly, you know. And it's really an information war out there, and we need to crank it up. And we can affect change that way. So I'm just going to go back to Mr. T. Have you been looking at anything else on the forums?
On the forum?
I mean, really, I can't really...
On the forum?
Sure, yeah.
Well, they're trying to break all the middle income people. Yeah. You know, middle income people are probably... like what you've said about some of these name people that, you know, they call millionaires. They're trying to come down on them and break them because there's something they think is ahead of that. So the middle class are trying, as far as I know, trying to bust, break.
They're trying to break the middle class. And the
middle class extends to nearly a billion, you know, as we say, millionaires. That's middle class.
Something like that.
Now, I don't know where you want to label yourself or myself, but I'm not even middle class. I'm not even low.
It's just a term or phrase that's used to, you know, get some type of
ordinary, terminology. I'm below middle class.
I work every now and then, you know, so I don't know what class you call it, you know.
Well, you do a class of work.
I want to stay humble.
Yeah, so... But the bigger agenda has been cranked up anyway, and the gap between the very, very rich and the very, very poor is, you know, widening rapido. And there ain't no jobs out there. There never was any jobs under the Lisbon concept and trickery. And it's moving very fastly towards the global union, the global government, the globalization. And we need to just get the information out there. I haven't compiled any process as such. But we can talk. There's a lot of stuff we can cover tonight on that issue alone, but maybe for another night, Vin. I don't know.
Yeah, you might think of something later.
Sure.
To bring up.
But yeah, we do need to. I want to go on. I just want to mention Common Purpose because most people probably are not familiar with it, and most people need to know. More people need to know. Even the people who are aware of it, they need to hear on a continuous basis.
Common Purpose.
You need to. We need to unveil. We need to expose this group called Common Purpose because they're in every organ of the state, and they're bringing the whole system down. You know. And I know they got. I'm kind of speaking to the converted here. I know most of us are aware of it who are listening to it, but we need to get that information out there. What do you reckon?
Absolutely.
Also, Harry, I think the important thing to realise is these shows will be going out on podcast as well. So, you know, maybe other listeners who will tune in to hear the podcast. The website is almost finished at the moment, folks, and I'm going to start uploading all the old podcasts now during the week. So, with a bit of luck, we'll have the original podcast all back up. And again, the shows, I'll do them all and date again. We do have them all at this stage, so we're lucky to have them all back. And is there anything else you want to add in, Harry? I mean, if anything else occurs to you, just feel free, raise your hand, and I'll just pass the mic over.
Kind of on a neutral night or something, you know? There's nothing that's really. There's no dots being joined in my mind at the moment.
Well, you were talking to me earlier about the spraying, the chemtrail spraying. You were talking about the tonnage of the chemicals.
Yeah, I just came across. I got an email from the UK column. They keep sending me. They send me a hell of a lot of emails, but it was one attachment on it. There's a couple of people in California. They're making a documentary on chemtrails, and the target is to spray 200 tons of aluminium into the atmosphere every day. Now I have it posted on the site. It's quite an interesting view, you know, because anybody who's skeptical on chemtrails, they need to watch this one. There's 61,000 parts per million, the maximum. This is in relation. I'm not sure the units, but it's, let's say, parts per million. The maximum required is 1,000 of these units. Can't recollect what they are there on the video clip. It's burning all the vegetation. It's killing all the insects. It's killing all the bees. But even on the ground, it's gone into the water. It's gone into the land, and it's destroying everything. And these guys, it's worth to view this documentary because it comes from the right source. And I mean, that's, we're being sprayed to death over here, you know, and there's nothing about it. And of course they're going to use the global warming, you know, con job is the same as they did the swine flu, which was proven to be a hoax. So you really should investigate the chemtrail issue. It's quite important because we're breathing this stuff in every day. And
sorry, Harry, somebody's just asking there on the chat box on Freeman Ireland. Vin, can you ask Harry, is he aware of a similar company called Holistic Services? I am taking it that this guy must believe there's something similar to the Common Purpose, if not a new version of it.
Services, I don't know, actually. I haven't heard of them. But any group that you, any charity organization or any organization that has charitable status, it's very difficult to get charitable status. So any company who has this status of charitable status, you can bet your, you can bet yourself that they've got, they're a part of all this, because this is what they do. They give them charitable status to operate, and with impunity. Any group or organization that you see public partnership, anything to do with the words partnership or sustainability, no matter how green it looks and how attractive it and how plausible it may sound, you can bet that it's all a part of it comes under the remit of a group called Common Purpose. There's so many of the groups out there, but I haven't heard of that particular group. But I'm gonna, I'll do an investigation on that one. And as people are probably aware of, I mean, the Irish police have been put on notice to the group called Common Purpose about 6 months ago through registered letters. The Garda Commissioner, the Assistant Garda Commissioner, and various government ministers have been given a copy, all cover copied, so they all know everybody else has got it, on the issue of Common Purpose, because was because of Albert Borges and Brian Gerrish, who I flew to London nearly 2 years ago to meet on this issue. These are very credible people. Albert Borges is the next senior Scotland Yard detective. And of course, most of us know that Brian Gerrish is an ex-Navy officer. So they're credible people coming from good source. So they were mentioned in this letter that was registered to the Garda Commissioner and various ministers as, sources of evidence in relation to Common Purpose.
There's another one that's after just been popping up on the screen there. What about Atlantic Philanthropies? I'm wondering, had you ever heard of them? Again, it all sounds like the same modus operandi. Maybe in operation, they're just maybe starting to diversify into different names, handles, whatever. Sounds like it's the same. Maybe not now. Again, folks, I don't want to go painting any organisation which may be doing good work with a bad brush, but, you know, we can investigate.
Sure, I'm going to mention something else, and I know some people have, even myself, we kind of have to tread on eggshells or, you know, take things with a grain of salt sometimes to be investigated, but I've met this man a couple of, 2 years ago, 3 years ago maybe, the High Court, and he has sent me some information in relation to Rangers, officers of the Ranger unit, and he's put the evidence up on the website, on the internet. I put it up on the on TNS on the chat show earlier on, and so his website is spiritoftruth.org. So it's spirit-truth, .org. So you can check that out, and he has all these recordings of the managing director of a company called CIA who Limited, who have an office up in I think it's Athlone actually, and they were linked with senior officers of the Rangers, the Irish Army Ranger Unit, dealing with illegal arms in South Africa, essentially mercenaries and training mercenaries. So you have serving Irish Army officers, and it implicates Dermot Ahern. Now, I'm not saying this without credibility. He's posted up the letters he has registered to Dermot Ahern and Willie O'Dea, because he can prove there's an involvement there. So, interesting thing to check it out. And, in fact, there was an article published in the Seychelles, because there's a link with the Seychelles on that issue. So, he has to prove... post it up on that site, spiritoftruth.org. So do check it out, because there's a lot of stuff going on that people are not aware of, that most people wouldn't believe that is going on, but it's you got to check this stuff out. And it comes from good intent, from what I've checked out, and you can check it out. In fact, we're checking it out now as you speak, and you'll see all the letters that are posted. It'll pop up now in a sec. spiritoftruth.org. In relation to all these other groups, charitable status groups, it's highly likely that they're linked to a bigger group, and Common Purpose behind it. They are directly funded by the Rothschilds via JP Morgan Bank. And if you go on to if you want to check them out, you obviously check them out in Dun & Bradstreet. It's a great source, because when they were checked out in Ireland with the company registration office, you won't find a hell of a lot in the company registration office in Parnell Square, because they're kind of not listed there. In fact, the people in the company registration office were quite overwhelmed when they were given evidential printouts from Dun & Bradstreet that the Irish government and the Garda Síochána and the Law Library, and they're all registered companies. They were totally blown away by this. They just couldn't, they didn't know this. These are people in the company registration office. So if you want to find out about a lot of companies, you know, do Dun & Bradstreet. If you want to Dun & Bradstreet, I mean, I checked out Common Purpose in the company registration office in Dublin, that they didn't pop up there. But when you went on to Dun & Bradstreet, you'd find out that they had an office in Two Harbour Master Place in the Irish Financial Service in Dublin. So when that office was approached, the receptionist was unaware of the fact that Common Purpose was even in the building. So when she was presented with the evidential printout from Dun & Bradstreet, she was totally aghast. So you got to do your little digging, you know, and the big, you know, it's where to look for the information's the key, you know. When you know what to look for, where to look for it, you know, all of a sudden, bingo. So Common Purpose are in Cork. They're in Albert Quay in Cork, beside the council. They have another office in Bow Street in Dublin. And they're in the same office as the Parole Board, the commission, the Lease Cross Commission, and the entire management, financial management section of the health service of the country. So their fingers right on the money there, you know. And they have a little sticker on the window for a quick escape in case anybody wishes to, you know, ask some questions. They're gone. So if you, I don't know if it's on Tierna Sarah, but on the wethepeople.ie, you will see the names of their sponsors and their trustees in Ireland. You'd be very, very surprised to find out who's funding them. So do a little check there, folks, and ask questions and demand answers. Because you've got a right to know. Because you're sovereign. And sovereignty is the key. Because they can argue even the Constitution. I mean, for years I used the Constitution only as a tool. Just a tool, that's all. But what supersedes everything is the issue of sovereignty. And when you declare yourself a sovereign, that's the end of it. The game is over, folks. Corporation can go off and contract with itself. Have a nice day. Have a nice day. No more income tax. No more slavery. Sure, we pay taxes indirectly. We can call, we buy a pint of beer, or we contract willingly to pay a tax on it. That's fair enough. But they didn't create your flesh and blood, folks. They need your consent to tax your flesh and blood, and you give it to them. And you know, it's just, there's a simple method out there. When you get a tax form, if you're self-employed or whatever, and they keep sending these brown envelopes with violating the sovereign seal on it, register corporation. Remember, it's a registered company. On Dun & Bradstreet, they're using the sovereign seal, and they're sending you this brown envelope with a window in it with a capital letter, Mr. Joe Bloggs, Mrs. Joe Bloggs, or whatever. You just blank it out with a piece of sticky white paper and write on it diagonally, "I do not recognize you. Understand your intent. Wish, well, I do not, I've no will to contract with you." Pop it back into post. That's the end of your tax, folks. Now, if you're employed by some employer, I'm not sure. None of this is advice, okay, of course, but, you know, you can try all this. But if I was employed by someone and I was being taxed, I'd wish to see the contract that was signed in the first place, that someone else can take this portion of your wages and give it to a registered corporation. I'd put it in a letter. I just ask. Keep asking questions, because you're sovereign. Have a nice day.
Okay, folks, we're going to have a first here on tnsradio.com. This is going to be our first ever live music show. And we are going to have a little bit of guitar music here and some vocals from Sovereignty. Now, he's just getting ready now at the moment. And he's going to have a cup of Sovereignty for us, I think. So his microphone is on. I'm just going to pass him over the other microphone here.
Just having a glass of Sovereign wine.
That's it. Okay, so in your own time.
Okay. Well, first of all, what I should apologies to you two and any avid fans of you two out there, but I think the theme is more important than anyone's fancy for the original lyrics of a song. What I've done here is I've rewritten the lyrics for Where the Streets Have No Name by U2, and it's got a sovereign message. And if Bono is listening out there, you have my full permission and consent to reproduce this material, provided you do it on a not-for-profit basis.
I want to run, I want to hide, I want to tear down the walls that keep me inside. I want to take shelter, the poison rain, where they captured my name. Where they captured my name. Now I got a voice, and I'm gonna talk. They made me a slave before I could walk. They put me in debt and wrapped me in chains when they captured my name. When they captured my name. Now I got two eyes and I seen their game, but I say I'm more than a number and more than a name. Your commercial course under Admiralty got no business with me. Got no business with me. Got no business with me. And I'm saying no, no, no more. No, no more. No, no more, no more. Now I got two ears, you know what I've heard, that sets me apart from the flock and the herd. I'm a sovereign man, and I'm gonna be where the sovereigns reign. Where the sovereigns reign. Now I am a man, just look at me. I was born in this land, I was born to be free. I'm taking it back, and I'm taking you to where the sovereigns reign. Where the sovereigns reign. Where the sovereigns reign. I'm gonna claim Breton law, not Admiralty. I'm standing on land, not in the sea. Friend, so are you. Sovereign citizens, it's true. Sovereign citizens, it's true. Sovereign citizens, it's true. Sovereign citizens, it's true. Sovereign citizens, it's true.
Well done. That was sung by Sovereign Tea. And of course, we still have General Goodshafting to join us.
Good evening, everybody.
The General, how are you?
Not bad. Good to be over here in the merry land of air.
This is it, this is it.
First visit for many years. Things have changed.
But, is this an official visit, General? Are you on duty, or...?
Well, as it happens, I'm shooting a new video.
Ah, it's a production.
It's a new production. What I'm trying to do is not only stimulate a bit of tourist industry over in Dublin, which I'm sure you need, but also I'm visiting some of the important premises around Dublin, shooting outside the Freemasons Lodge, outside your government buildings, outside the Bank of Ireland, and attempting to draw people's attention to any of the incongruities that might be going on there. You know the sort of thing I mean?
Oh, I have an idea.
More and more people are getting an idea every day. In my last video, I was talking about sovereignty, possibly the most important issue that I've posted on so far. But I've left it to this time to develop my own ideas and develop some remedies and develop some demonstrative tools that I'll share with you tonight, if you please.
In your own time, General, work away.
Well, you know, I talked about sovereign aces being hive in.
Mm-hmm.
You see this pack of cards here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's choose a suite of these cards, Vin. What would you like? Would you like diamonds or hearts, spades or clubs?
I think I need a spade.
You need a spade. Well, there we go. So we're going to set these cards out here on the table. Now, I want you to start arranging these cards from the top down. Here's a king.
Okay.
So you take it from there.
Okay, so we go king, queen, jack.
Okay, I'll stop you there. Stop you there, Vin. You see, you might not have a king or a queen over here, but a king or a queen makes a lot of sense back in England. See, everybody knows what a king and a queen are. They're our sovereigns. And underneath the king and the queen, you find a jack, you see? That's the king or the queen's job, to appoint a government. So we can think of the jack as being the government or parliament. So what do you find after that, Vin?
Well, then you're down to the 10.
Well, the 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, we could think of those as the agencies of government, Finn. We can think of those mm-hmm. as being the police, or you've got the Garda Síochána over here. We can think of that as being DVLA. We can think of that as being the quasi-courts that are social services. All of them, all the way down to number 2, your police community support officer, or the guy who gives you a parking ticket. Now, is there something missing on this table, Finn? Something we've missed out?
The two cards that come with the pack. The jokers.
Ah, yes, the jokers. There's two jokers out there, and there's another missing card in this arrangement. What's missing out of this suite, Vin? Did you miss out the ace?
Oh, the ace. Yes, I did.
You're not very good at this game, you know.
The ace, of course.
I think I could win hands down if we were playing poker tonight. But in any case, you're missing the ace. Now, what I want people to understand is that in this merry game of poker, at this table, well, in my country, it's called the United Kingdom. At that poker table called the United Kingdom, there's a couple of jokers down there who have convinced us that our ace is low, below the 2, below the police community support officer. And you know what, Vin? They're right, because at that poker game, that poker table called the United Kingdom, the ace is low, because that's the ace that's created by registration. The legal person, the person, pro se. In one game, it'll be the registered keeper. In another game, it's going to be the taxpayer. In another game, it's going to be the driver. You know, and it doesn't matter what they call it. Whatever they call you, that's them saying your ace is low in this game, at this table. But what I've discovered is it doesn't have to be that way. You have to pick yourself up off your knees. You have to just rediscover who you are, because you're not that number one ace below the police community support officer. You're the sovereign ace, and you're high. You're higher than the police community support officer and DVLA, higher than the social services, higher than the queen, higher than the king, if you've got one. You're right at the top of the pack. Sovereign aces are high, and they win in any game. Have you seen a sovereign ace performing in court, Finn?
I have seen one or two. It's a different situation.
What sort of things happen?
Well, things you wouldn't expect happen. People unexpectedly leave, whom you wouldn't expect to normally leave.
People like magistrates.
That's the fellow.
They get awful scared. It's like a monster's just appeared before them. They know that their authority depends on you consenting to join their game in an ace's low position. And as soon as you identify yourself as an ace's high, a sovereign ace, their authority melts away. They get scared. They might try all sorts of tactics on you. They might try and get the police in there to bundle you out of the building. It's because they're scared of the truth, that your sovereignty excels and exceeds their authority by an infinite margin, and their license to act on you is only derived from your sovereignty and from nowhere else. And in the absence of your consent, they have no authority whatsoever to act on you.
And I'd just like to let you know, General, we actually have plenty of listeners in the UK at the moment. We've actually got listeners in 6 countries as we speak. And would you say that the same system would apply in all of these countries? For example, Ireland, UK, Canada, United States, and we even have a listener in France at the moment.
Well, I would say that all of those countries that you've listed are under the Crown system. And the Crown system is the casino in which these tables are placed. So all of those countries will be operating commercial law under Admiralty Maritime jurisdiction, and their chips are going to be on the table, and they'll be playing aces low no matter where they're from. The only countries that I know of that don't have this system are those countries that are identified as being on the axis of evil. And it's no surprise that we're trying to invade those countries in a collaborative effort, no doubt to install a new arrangement for the securities of the persons in those countries, and to ensure that they join our casino, because someone's collecting all of the winnings. And I don't think I should say who that is.
Maybe we'll keep that for another show. So, General, you were very good to come out to meet up with the guys in Ardgillan Castle today. A beautiful, beautiful sunny day. I hope your paint didn't blister in the sun, because it was that hot, folks. Even the chemtrails couldn't dull it down today for some reason.
Fortunately, I don't suffer too much with atmospheric pollution.
So what's next for the General when you're going to do a bit of inspecting around the countryside here, I believe?
That's right. I'm going to take Mrs. Goodshafting across the country. That sounds a bit rude, doesn't it? It wasn't intended that way. Mrs. Goodshafting sitting right here.
Yeah, she was anyway.
Yes, she was. Very good, yes. I'm going to take some more footage, Vin. There's some more important locations, no doubt, to experience in the great city of Dublin you've got here. It's not all work, work, work. I might just drop by the brewery or one of your fine pubs. I tell you what does concern me too. It's the price of Guinness. I was expecting coming over here to where the Guinness Spring is situated, that the Guinness might be a penny a pint, or perhaps a cent a pint, but I find instead that it's almost double what I might expect to pay in my little village back in Shaftington. And that's a damn shame. I think people have just put up with incremental tax increases without thinking about it, and now they're having to put a freeze on prices of drink to encourage people back into the pubs in Dublin. Who would have thought it?
Well, absolutely. What they actually did over time, you see, with this so-called Celtic economy we had, apparently, it was only apparent again, you know, it didn't seem like that big a deal to be charging that money for a pint of beer, a cup of coffee, a latte, espresso, cappuccino. It was no big deal because everybody was working and earning and spending, and they had credit cards, and it was wonderful, and it was a high. But then somebody turned off the credit machine. And suddenly everybody was still left with the high prices.
It's like they're ratcheting it up, isn't it? They're just going to make people desperate. You know what I find more than anything? Is when you make people desperate, they're more willing than ever, to turn against their fellow man to make a quick buck. And that's what saddens me, because the truth is that we're all in this together. We need to help each other. Instead of trying to hike your prices up and charge more for your services, get together and see what you can do for each other for free. It's got another advantage too. You won't find the taxman coming round to charge you a proportion of the nothing that you charge for your services.
That's a fantastic point. And I think more people need to consider that. In fact, today at the meetup, some of the guys are saying they were going to start something on the website in relation to just such a thing, whereby anybody with skills, doesn't matter what your skills are, folks, let us know, make a list, let everybody else on the forum know what you can, can't do, what you're prepared to do, and what you're willing to have a go at even, and let's see what we can do.
It's all living and learning, isn't it, Vin?
Exactly.
You don't have to be an expert at something to have a go.
This is it. Just willingness.
The other thing I'd say is that many of your audience will understand, and many others not understand, that there's a big difference between public and private. Now, if you're doing something in public under your Mr. name, you're automatically placing yourself in commercial law and Admiralty Maritime jurisdiction and everything that that means. But it's not necessarily the case that you have to do that. You see, you can conduct yourself in private too. And I'm not giving legal advice here tonight, Vin, but I operate things back in Shaftington is that I might choose to do a job for my legal person, and that goes in my legal person Mr. Shafting account, and that's the taxpayer's account. They own that money, so they'll get their fair share out of tax. But if I do a private transaction, if I do a private contract for hire, I can't see that's any of their business.
Absolutely, yeah. That's why they call it private, right?
That's right. And people might want to pay me in kind, in some lovely way, if it's a nice lady. Or alternatively, some gold, perhaps, if someone's got some of that. But that's tax-free. What I would say is that if you're using their currency, if you're using those notes with Bank of England written on them, just remember that those notes are borrowed. Those notes are borrowed from the Bank of England, and they belong to them. So you're always using someone else's notes. You're inviting them into a transaction that you're proceeding with. So if you bear that in mind, if you're going to be transacting in private, you'll be best to find a means of exchange that has some material value between you, agreed. And it could be some kind of worthless token that has some merit between you, or it could be something more tangible, like gold coins. Think about that.
General, I was also wondering, because you were so far away, I was wondering, was there anything you'd actually care to ask Mr. T? Are there any questions you might like to put to Mr. T? See if there's some way he could...
Well, what I'd like to ask Mr. T is his opinion about a matter. I've recently been responding to unwanted communications from authority, from bailiffs, from... whoever else has been writing to me in the Mr. Good Shafting name that I don't like the look of. I've been writing back. I've been opening those letters and stapling on the top of those letters in capital letters in red. Return to sender. I do not recognize you. I do not understand your intent. I do not have an international treaty with you. No assured value. No liability. So that's stapled to the top of the letters, and they're back in the envelope and off to the company secretary of the company. And I've heard nothing back from any of them. Is this because I'm doing things right, Mr. T?
If it's effective.
If it's effective. I'm just wondering if anything's going to come down the track later on. Does what I've described to you sound like a good procedure?
Well, how much time has elapsed?
Well, we've got about a month since the last one.
Oh, well.
And I'm about to do another one to a bailiff company,
just
too.
Just take the envelope when you get it and just don't even open it. You ought to know if there's something you don't want.
Well, yes, I
can. And they aren't sending you any money or any gold or any silver or...
No, it looks more like proposed liabilities to me.
Well, then just don't even open them. Just put the label on the window and send it back. Wrap it in a letterbox.
Anything I don't like the look of. If they're asking me for something... If they're offering
if
some liability...
open it, you receive it.
So I just stick my note on the address label so
over
they can't see where it's...
Otherwise,
was addressed
I'll be sending
to.
It back to you if you don't cover that up.
Yeah.
It's not a cover-up. It's just telling them that you aren't going to receive it.
But the words that I use...
You don't acknowledge it.
No.
That's what you're telling them when you put that, I don't recognize you, I don't understand your intent, and what is it? I do not have an international treaty with you.
I don't have an international
treaty.
No assured
value, no liability.
You know, I wondered about that
you're
international treaty.
You're telling them in a whole bunch that right there, those, you know, there's no money obligations, no assured value, no liability.
Can I check?
There is no money, so how could there be any assured value or any liability?
Now, can I check with you the matter of the international treaty? I understand that we say that I do not have an international treaty with you because they are international to our jurisdiction. They are a commercial jurisdiction, and we are either common law or Brehon law jurisdiction as living men and women. We are an international concern to them, and we do not have a treaty. Is that understanding correct?
Well, they left the treaty intact when they set up the, you know, the set up the constitutions, you know. So, and that them that supersedes the. So why would you want to? And the municipalities are international for us. The municipalities, you know, the private sector of the county that you live in, they've never taken them out of. You know, the sheriffs are still elected. And all your county officers, or most of them, they're all subdivisions. Every office has a subdivision. Even the CIA, and that's how they can operate. The bar, they were set up back in 1945.
The bar?
The bar.
I was interested to see around...
And the CIA and the FBI and the Interpol.
Around Dublin today, I saw a lot of signs for the bar.
Huh?
I saw a lot of signs for Temple Bar in Dublin today. We've also got a Temple Bar in London. Is it the same thing? Is the bar in Dublin the same as the bar in London?
I don't know if that's the, what they call it, the bar, the...
The British
like
Accreditation Registry.
Like the law societies?
The British Accreditation Registry.
Yeah.
Do you have
so,
that?
So, you know, and that's why you can fire them when you go into court.
But I'm
you
just,
know, you just say, well, I object. What are you objecting about? Well, he came in here without a witness. Why would you want to address somebody that didn't come in there as a, you know, that had a witness? Why would you want to let him talk in your you know, even if you didn't hire him?
Oh, sure, I can
you
understand
him
that
out,
point.
They,
in
you
court.
Fire him, they sit down, they be quiet, they don't say anymore.
You,
and you go into a hearing or court.
You were telling me earlier about a table with four legs.
Yeah.
Could you remind me and the viewers of that?
That's what's happening.
What are the four legs?
As soon as you
table?
Fire him, the table's going to fall over.
What are the four legs that are required for a case to proceed?
You got the witness, you got your actually your defendant and plaintiff, and you got your subject matter, and you got your you know, your witness, your sworn witness, and that's four legs. So you got two parties supposedly opposing each other, but you got to have a witness and you got to have the subject matter.
And without all of those things, there's no case to proceed.
There's no case.
I wonder how often all of those things are present.
Very 50,000 million cases. Okay. So actually, if you go through all these cases, there's really no case at all. It's just under presumption, and like presupposed, you could say.
I see.
Like looking into a, you know, negative. You're looking into a blurred picture. It's superimposed, okay?
Earlier on, we were saying about procedure on going into court. We would go into court, and I would look at the magistrate, and this is something that I haven't done myself yet, but I would look at the magistrate, and what might I say to that magistrate? What would the first thing I say to the magistrate be, Mr. T?
You're walking into a meeting room or hearing?
Ah, yes, that's right. There is an issue of whether or not it's a court. Because until
they sent some kind of a communication to come, invited you.
That's right.
Invitation.
Some kind of invitation.
By invitation.
So I go into that private meeting room.
Now, you could have stopped
premises.
That invitation by... putting your label on that window and sending it back to him.
Of course I could.
See, that's the first step that you could have did. And you never had to walk into that meeting or that hearing room or that invitation.
It seems I've got to redress my own psychology, my own approach at the whole subject. I'm
but
thinking of
do,
battling
yeah.
in court, but there's
but
no need even to go. I don't need to think about battling with a magistrate if I don't have to go into the building.
Even if you walk in there and don't send the letter back, but you appear, apparently you are appearing.